Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Saturdays podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
What an honor to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I brought my buddy Joe. I always like to travel. I don't like to travel solo, so Joe was gracious enough to take the ride with me. We had some really good fellowship. And I was just sharing a little bit with Joe how I met Matt years ago down in Wildwood at an 8 Days of Blaze concert. Well, there were some monkeys floating around, but Matt was leading worship, and I was one of the, I think I was speaking down there. And I spoke some words to Matt, and we got to see some of that stuff come forward and build a relationship, and that's how I'm here today. I want to just express what God's put on my heart for you guys, and you may already know what I'm going to share, but I'm just going to share what I feel like the Lord put on my heart. Take it for a grain of salt, pray through it, step into it, and let it happen. But I want to pray for a second, because I just really believe that there's a breakthrough for, even now, there's a breakthrough for us. So Father, I just thank you, God. As we were worshiping, I saw this huge ring of fire coming in the middle of the room. And I just felt like the Lord was saying that he was going to release an impartation of his fire tonight. And that it's not just for this particular meeting, but it's for us as going forward in our lives as believers in Christ. And if you just have faith for this, just say, Father, I receive the embrace of your fire from heaven right now, Father. I just see my hands catching on fire. Lord, I receive the presence. That's what the fire is. I receive the presence of the Holy Ghost to go out into the community and be a light, God. Lord, I receive the impartation of fire to move to and fro throughout the earth in the Spirit to do exploits for the kingdom, God. Lord, I will not let man stop me from being who you called me to be. Come on, you got to get that. I will not let men stop me for being who you called me to be. And Father, I believe that the fire of heaven will allow me to be that man or woman in your presence in this season amongst the people. In Jesus' name. And I'm just excited because I'm with you, Matt. I believe, you know, I'm not here to talk about the pandemic. We heard so many things about that. I could care less about the pandemic. What I care about is what comes out of the pandemic. And how does the church come out of the pandemic? And one of the things that the Lord spoke to me as we were entering in is that the church will not look the same as we come out of this pandemic. And I think that's really interesting that what we did yesterday is not going to work for tomorrow. And I love that God has called you guys to another place. You know, I love what God was doing in Rock. I mean, we had some wild meetings there when I was there. Actually put me on a trajectory into different aspects of my life as well. So I really cherish the things that happen over at Rock, but I'm excited for what God's going to do in this place. And I just want to share a few thoughts before I get into the message. I'm just going to read you a few things that the Lord just placed on my heart, just as a word of encouragement. As you begin to go into this endeavor, I'm just going to read you what I wrote, and then I'll break it down real quick before we get into the word. As you step into this new endeavor season, you don't want to stroll into it. And I know that you guys are not strolling into it, but what that means is I was sitting here thinking, I had the vision about someone grabbing the bull by the horns. And God says, it's not just grabbing the bull by the horns, it's grabbing the altar of heaven and bringing it to the earth. And I believe that's what this place is about, is grabbing the things of the altar of heaven and bringing it to the earth. And I believe that this well, which we're going to talk about, is going to be a place that's going to bring people to have an encounter with heaven like never before. The thing is, we can talk about it, but do you have the expectation to have it happen? And then not just the expectation of it, but do you have the faith in it? Not just the faith of it, do you have the hope in it? And not just to have the hope in it, do you have the drive for it? Yes, no, maybe so. You guys are looking at me like, I don't know. Come on. So you can't stroll into the very thing that God's called you into. What I mean is you got to take it for the full advantage of what he's given to you. If this is a new season, you're saying it's a new season, what do we do in new seasons, man? We maximize it. We capitalize on it. We strive to fulfill the fullness of that season. It's not good enough to just step into a new season. What is the new season about? It's not that you go into a new building. It's not that you have new people coming. It's what's the reason why you were moved? What is the reason to get into a new community? What is it about building a community? I'm all about community. I mean, Joe, he hears it from me. We're trying to establish community where we live. Community is the backbone of the kingdom. I believe that. I mean, we can find it in the scripture. And I believe that's one of the things God was saying. Out of the pandemic, community will rise. And the thing is you've got to learn where your spot is in that community. You know, one of the things the Lord spoke to me about in the pandemic was people will rise out of the pandemic that didn't have a voice and they will become a voice. Any of you feel that way? Do you feel like you didn't have a voice, but there's something rising up in you? See, some of us are like, oh, I'm just here for the ride. It's no longer I'm just for the ride. Because God's anointing will bypass those that are just for the ride. That's a harsh word. I don't want to be for the ride. I want to be the ride with the Holy Ghost. Because wherever he goes, I just want to be wherever he is. You know, it says in Colossians in the message, it says, get around Jesus, for that's where the action is. So when you learn how to take this well, this group of community of believers, and you get them around Jesus, man, watch out what God's going to do in Sutterton. I'm talking about explosion. And it's not about the number size. So please, don't ever let the numbers get in the way of the creativity of who the Holy Ghost is within you. Because if it's only two of you, man, you're rock solid, right? Think about some of the stories in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. How many people did God really use to change the world? Yes. It wasn't 500, 10,000, 50,000 people. It was one or two people that was sold out for the business of the kingdom. So don't stroll along. Take every advantage you have. Listen, if the township's giving you a hard time, keep kicking the doors in. You have to. You can't let the township dictate what you're going to do if this is the kingdom business. Some people are like, I don't know, you're pushing. No, I will push the envelope. Because who really is the government? Where's the government actually seated? Seated on his shoulders. It's not seated in Sutterton. I'm saying that right? I hope.
Sutterton.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's all right.
Whatever this community's called, Jesus is the authority over this community. And the thing is, are you voicing that over this community? Will you go and voice that in the spirit? Will you begin to voice that as you travel, as you move, I guess this thing doesn't move. I guess I'm supposed to stay seated. But be wise in your endeavors. Be cautious in who you speak to about what God's doing until God tells you to begin to release the anointing upon that. Does that make sense? See, sometimes we can begin to let out the clutter, and then we get all these people coming. And sometimes they just begin to drain you. It's not good. It's not healthy. We want people that are going to get into the well, become the well, and then be the well. That's a good word right there. So I put here, don't be a church that if you close your doors, the community would not even notice that you're gone. If I could say anything tonight, do not be a church that if you close your doors, that the community would not even notice that you weren't gone. I'm talking about what impact will the well make in this community? What impact will this group of people go out and do in this community? And the thing is, it happens in the spirit and then in the natural. It's not going knocking on door to door to get people to come to the well. It's knocking on heaven's gate in the spirit, doing the business of the kingdom in the spirit that will drive the very things in this place. So you have to have the mind shift that you have to be spiritual people first, which I gather you are, right? When you understand that you're moving in the spirit first, that will change things in the natural. And if we're looking at things changing in the natural and we're not being proactive in the spirit, they're not going to change. And I know that you guys know this. I'm just encouraging you that on the slow days, where's your vision at? What are you seeking? What are you looking at? What perspective are you looking through? What lens are you actually gazing upon? If you're looking through the lens of the natural, you will become disappointed.
Yes.
Or you will see things in the natural that feel godly, but they're not. If your lens is in the spirit, it doesn't matter what you see in the natural. It's what you see in the spirit matters first. Then I put it on here, you can't stroll without a little expectation. You know, one of the things I've seen many
people try to go out and do a new season. There's two things that happen. Either you were really called to move, and I'm talking in general, so I'll take this personally. Either you were called to move, or you wanted to move. If you're called to move, there's an expectation that comes with that is based in the account of heaven. Meaning that all things that heaven has for that season is for your disposal. You have to learn how to begin to cash them in.
You have to learn how to go before the Father and say, okay, this is the new season. This is where I'm at. What does it look like? How we're going to walk it out? And what happens is God begins to release spiritually, in so many words, the spiritual finances to make things happen. whether it's that we become wealthy as in wisdom, wealthy in the spirit realm, wealthy in healing, wealthy in our gifting, wealthy in our musical talents, wealthy in whatever aspect that you guys are aiming for, God says it's all yours. Like, I'm looking at that table back there, and it just keeps reminding me of the banquet table. I encourage you guys to always have a community meal. If you don't have one, have one. If you have them, have more. God is calling people to have community meals. Because in that place, that's where you truly become your community. Community is not gathering on a Sunday and having worship and a message. Community is when you're with one another, just talking about life and then doing life with one another. That's community. Now, that's my understanding of community. I don't know what that's your understanding of community. Community is not gathering people to come sit in a building. Community is learning how to do life in the hard times and rising up with one another and saying, I'm going to raise a hallelujah. That's community to me. And I believe that's community to Jesus. You know, it goes on. I put it on here. You have to fight for it. Are you willing to fight when things look not so good? Are you willing to fight when only 5 people show up? Are you willing to fight when 100 people show up? Are you willing to fight when 500 people show up? Are you willing to fight when it's only you at a prayer meeting? Are you willing to fight when it's only you, Matt, up here strumming the guitar? My question to you tonight is, how far will you fight? And what is the fight for? Is it for your pride? Is it for your ego? Or is it for the kingdom to be known in this place? So my question is there any fighters in the room? Yes? No? I'm telling you, listen, you have to fight.
All right, forget the notes. If you're not fighting, let's just pack it up tonight. Seriously. Is that okay if I just be real? Sure. If we're not willing to fight for the kingdom to be established in this place, then what are we doing? If you're not willing to fight to take this place of ownership in the spirit, then what are we doing here? And I'm gonna back it up with scriptures in a second. If you're not willing to fight for this place, Matt, you keep calling it a place. And hopefully through this season, you said place numerous times as you were worshiping and singing about this place being a place. I believe that word is going to change for you. It's going to be home for this season. Because I don't believe that this is just one place. I believe the well is supposed to grow, and expand. And we can talk about that later. I'm not trying to say things that this thing's really getting on my nerves. But
if you're not willing to fight when things are hard, what gives us the right to be in the glory when things are good? Anyway, I'm not getting any reaction. You know, Paul said that he fought the good fight of faith, right? Well, we stand up and say that we will be willing to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm not saying that we welcome, forget that, that's nonsense. We don't welcome anything from the devil. What we welcome is the blessing of the Lord. You have to fight for the blessing of the Lord at times. That means you have to push through things. That means that you have to lay down your lives. That means that you have to lay down your agenda when so-and-so calls up and says, you know what, my water pipe broke in my house. Well, I don't care. I was sitting on my couch on a Sunday watching football. Where's community? Are you going to stay on the couch watching football, or are you going to go in the rainstorm and go and help that person fix their plug? That's community. And I don't see it that often. People are like, you know what, here's my plumber's number. He's great. Yeah, so now I'm going to spend $500 on a Sunday to get a plumber out when you're able to fix it for me. Anyway, I'm willing to lay my life down for those that are in my community. My question is, are you learning to lay down your life for those that will be in your community? Because that's what makes community healthy. This has nothing to do with what I want to talk about, but community, you brought it up. Community is amazing. To be planted is not the final destination, but the beginning. When you plant a seed, you can't see it for a time, right? Where does the seed go? It goes down in the earth. You can't see what that, a lot of times seeds are not, they're nothing to be looked at. They're not admired. Who sits around and admires a seed?
Look at this pack of seeds. This thing's beautiful, right? But what happens is in time you begin to water that seed, you begin to groom that seed, you begin to grow, garden around that seed, and in time that seed begins to grow and blossoms. I'm going to throw that thing out the window. That seed begins to blossom into this beautiful whatever it may be that you planted. So my question tonight is, what are you planting? What is this community going to look like? What are you wanting to plant in this community? It can be, God, I want to plant
You know, I want to be a community known for Corinthians 12 with all the gifts. I want to be a community that's known for the supernatural realm. I want to be a community that knows that we have a busload of people that are sick that they can come to this community and they're going to, like you said, these are the hands. I command that my hands and whoever I lay hands on that they recover. That is a great thing to have in your community. I believe that our community should be able to bring healing to those that are sick. Whether we see it or not in the natural, that we're exercising our faith in the spirit, saying, you're sick, I'm coming to your door. Listen, you know, when people were sick with COVID, they were like, oh, don't come touch me. I'm like, what in the world does that have to do anything? Jesus went out and he touched the lepers. Now, I'm not bagging on people that were suffering with COVID. I had COVID. You know, thank God I got through it. I had it twice, actually. But God was gracious enough, and he restored my soul. My question is, are you willing to lay your hands on the lepers? Lepers. You might have to lay your hands on the lepers if they're chasing you. You know what I mean? They'll be attacking you. But how far will you stretch your faith? How far will you allow your community to believe how big God really is? How big will you allow God to be in your community? These are all good points. My question to you is, how big is your God? Just throw it out there. How big's your God? Thank you. Woo-wee. All right, now we can get on the road. How big's your God, ma'am? I got no words. Right. That's our God. And when we learn to believe that, and not just believe it, then begin to exercise our faith in it. Listen, we're going to mess up. We're going to slip. We're not going to see things that we're hoping for. But then there's going to be times that I hope for it, and bam, the light of God shows up. Things fall. The altar splits. People are healed. You know, people are coming out of their graves. There's things happening because little by little, as a community, we begin to grow in faith. We begin to grow in expectation. Listen, it takes courage to have expectation. What is the level of your courage tonight? If your courage is always down here in the mediocre area, you got to get around some people that lift you up in your courage. And if your courage is up here exponentially, get around some people that are down here and give them a swift kick in the butt and say, let's get on the road. Let's have a meeting with Jesus. Let's have an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Because every one of you guys are a portal for heaven. I say it everywhere as I go. I said it in your old church. You are a portal of heaven. What are you doing about it? And the thing is if you're keeping your portal locked up, if you're keeping your encounters with the Holy Spirit to yourself, then what good is to have an encounter? What good is to have a community that's moving in the Spirit of God, but keep it in your four walls? We can't. That's not community. That is a church that's going to have those doors closed. I don't believe the well is supposed to have its doors closed. Because I don't think a well has a door. It can have a lid. Doesn't have a door. Anyway, I'm joking. Let's go on. The other thing I want to talk about before I get to the message is when you plant this, you've been planted, you have this well. I encourage you from time to time to take a step back and look to see if there's any weeds gathering around the well. Well, what are the weeds? Well, there can be complacency. There can be strife. There can be anxiety. It can be fear. It can be worry. It can be misunderstanding, miscommunications. It can be greed. It can be sin. Don't let weeds grow around your well. What I mean by don't let weeds grow around your community, right? That's what we're talking about, right? The well is your community. It's no longer to be a church. I believe there's a difference that there's the church and then there's the bride of Christ. And I don't want to get off topic. I believe there's a difference. And I believe the world is beginning to see that. And I believe that people are beginning to say, you know what? That's church. Doesn't work. That's the bride of Christ. She works. That's where the well is. That's where the community is. And that's why we have to step back and say, you know what? That's a weed. It's not allowed. I am encouraging you guys. I'm challenging you guys. I charge you guys to not let one weed grow up around your well. When you have such a strong community and you can be able to speak with one another in love, in grace, in mercy, and say, you know what, brother? This is not working. This is why. That's how you become a stronger community. Does that make sense? I don't find that often. I don't see it often. But why can't you start out in the right way? Understand that we won't allow weeds to be in our garden. You know, when the pandemic came, I was outside actually weeding around some trees that we planted, and the Lord spoke to me. He goes, I want to go through the graves in your heart and restore the very things that were stolen. I'm like, man, that's amazing. And the Lord gave me this whole download. And then 2 weeks later, I heard that whole song.
He turns graves into gardens. I've never even heard this song. I'm like, oh my God, this whole thing I just happened in my garden. That God wants to walk through the graveyards of your heart. And he wants to restore the very things that have been dead in there because of what the world has done. And bring back your vision. Bring back your hope. Bring back your prosperity. Bring back your hope that you can move into things of God. It's like, what has the world robbed you guys out of? You know, forget my next one. This pandemic has robbed so many people. Have any one of you guys been robbed of this pandemic? Spiritually. Or you're all good? We don't have to talk about it. You all good? I feel a little iffy, but but here's the thing. If every vision and every dream you have and you believe in hasn't come to fruition. No. Why not? Some of them haven't come to fruition because we just put them on the mantle. We were talking about this on the right. Some of them we just put on the mantle. Look at that beautiful vision. So beautiful, so beautiful. 10 years go by. Look at this thing, so beautiful. Another 10 years go by. That very thing that God called you to walk out never became true because you admired it afar. And you never brought it before the Father and said, Lord, I'm ready to walk this out. You know, those words in my life that I've struggled with for 30 years that I've wrestled with God with, I'm beginning to walk them out. And listen, some of it's not easy. Some of it's hard. But I'm learning to not let weeds grow around my garden. What's my garden? My heart. I'm trying to not let sin have its way around my heart. And who is your gardener? It's a simple question. These are not, listen, any question I ask is not a trick question. Who's your gardener? Spiritually. You are. Through the Holy Ghost. So do you really know what's going on in your heart? Anyway, we're getting off topic. Tuesday, I was driving home from work and I heard this audibly. I heard this just this one sentence. And I was thinking about you guys and I heard this. I heard the Lord say, they are well-oiled drillers. I'm like, well, what does that mean, God? What that means is God is bringing a group of leaders in this community that will learn how to punch wells in the spirit realm. That's exciting to me. I don't know if that's not exciting for you guys. I'm talking about, all right, let's get to this. There's wells, right? We understand, you know, that we talk about the fathers and mothers of faith, that they went out and they walked the earth and they have basically poured their lives into things in the earth, and God has granted things and blessed things and prospered things, and we can call them wells, right? People talk about their old wells, the old rivers of the anointing and all these things. Don't look for the old anointing. It's good. What does the anointing look like today? Is this well going to be different than any other well? Will this well be different than the well next door, the well down the street, the well across the street? What will this well look like? And only you guys can drive that through the Holy Spirit. It's not, I'm not saying that it's not okay to look at other wells. I'm saying be yourself. Have your own identity. Know who you are, be confident in who you are, and then let the world know that. So my question is, what are you drilling for? Matt, what's one thing as a leader that you expect to be about this well? One thing. The top thing on your heart, without thinking.
Presence.
Presence?
Yeah.
How do we get presence?
Go for it.
You got to be... Listen, I want to charge you guys to be exceptional in your running after the presence of God. You don't hear that from the pulpit. What do you mean you want me to be exceptional? I want you to be exceptional. What that means is you bypass everything that you knew and you go beyond everything that man told you that you can't do and you achieve the very thing that you're running after because the Holy Ghost is leading you in that way. You can't not run after the presence and not get it if you're running with the heart of God. Hands down. If you're running after presence shows up. Because you know what? Presence is with you no matter what. It's us understanding that the presence is tangible around us because you're already carrying the presence. Because what the scripture says, it says that you are... I love this. In one translation, it says that you're God's address on earth permanently. You're God's permanent address on earth. What that means is I don't have to run after His presence. All I have to do is open myself up and allow His presence to begin to exude out of me. So do I have to run after it? No. I have to begin to admire what's already in me that I can give to other people. So you carry the presence, man. And now it's learning how do you tie the presence to Greg? And what's your name, sir?
Keith.
Keith, and man,
sorry. Lord, how do you begin to take the... Because every one of us understands the presence a little differently. And every one of us has begun to expose the presence of God a little differently, right? Because if we all do the same, what's the point of us having community? We're all robots. We're not robots. We're all uniquely made to carry His presence in different ways, and that's what makes it so beautiful. So, yeah, I get that you're running after the presence. I get that. I understand that. I believe God is changing terminology sometimes. We're not just running after the presence. We're already in His presence. It's how do we begin to lay down our agenda so that the presence begins to flow in a different way, in a different capacity, in a different tangible way. Listen, Matt, for you, it's easy. You just pick up your guitar. Not to build your head up. You can just play. Presence just begins to ooze. Some of you may just pray. Some of you may begin to quote the word. Some of you may be cooking. Some of you may be cleaning. Whatever it is, listen, if we're looking at people just because of the gifts, we need the Corinthians 12, and we're not looking at what else they can bring, then we're closed-minded. We're being selfish. Because what about the one that has the gift of hospitality? It's just as powerful as the one that's up here preaching to the nations. Because if you can open up your house and love people, then you're just as great as the person that's preaching to the nations. Anyway, let's get to the scriptures. Check this out. I want to talk about this place, Matt. Because it's not a place. It's a place, but it's a holy place. Go to Genesis 28. Did any of that make any sense to you guys?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
His presence so wants to be exposed. Why don't we expose His presence in the food market? Why don't we expose His presence at our jobs? Why do we even struggle sometimes exposing His presence to our children or to our spouse? You know why? Does anyone know why? I'll give you my reason why. Because we're insecure in who we are in Christ. When we learn who we are in Christ, you could care less who's around you. See, if I'm worried about how Keith is going to think of me, then I'm going to be limited on how much of the Holy Ghost I give him. But if I could care less what Keith thinks about me, he gets it. And if I'm in the shopping center, I could care less what people think about me. I might not even see them again. What if that was your chance to give heaven to somebody, and because out of our insecurity, is Jesus insecure? Is the Holy Ghost insecure? Where's the Holy Ghost dwell? Dwells in us. So we always had the battle of, is it the Holy Ghost is me? Is it the Holy Ghost is me? Is it the Holy Ghost is me? You know what? I got to get out of me and allow the Holy Ghost to have His way. Because if I can be that explosion in the shop, right, or whatever you guys have up here, imagine revival breaking out just because I could care less what people thought about me. But I cared about their eternity. I cared about their salvation. I cared about the person that's crippling. I care about the person that's suffering. I love that, Matt. Now, I'm not one that goes and pick up hitchhikers. But I love that you had an encounter with a man. Imagine if Matt didn't pick up that man. That would have been one less time that man had an encounter of heaven. Now, I'm not suggesting you pick up hitchhikers, so don't take that out of context. Right, Matt? Right? What I'm saying is, be yourself. All right, so check this out. Genesis 28. Now, Jacob left... Now, I might get some of these names wrong. Some names I'm not going to read if you're following, because I am horrible. I'll destroy the text. So now Jacob left Beersheba, right? I don't know. Never to see his mother again, and he traveled toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed overnight there because the sun had been set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and laid down there to sleep. Now, one of the things I was like, God, why did he lay his head on a stone? Now, why? Because God mentions it twice. Why did he make purpose that he laid his head on a stone? I've never thought of it before. I was thinking about it today. God, why did he lay his head on a stone? And I want to speak to us prophetically. I'm not saying this is theology. I'm not saying this is doctrine. I'm just speaking prophetically of what I feel like God spoke to me today. He put his head on a stone because the stone was solid. It was foundational. It was unmovable. What is your thinking on today? Is your thinking on something that's unmovable? Is your thinking on something that can be moved? Is your mindset thoughts locked on the things of God? Or is your mindset set on the things of the world? If your mindset on the world, you're laying on pebbles. But if your mind is set on Jesus, You're set on a foundation. Does that make sense? If my mind is all over the place and I'm having erratic thoughts and I'm not focused on Jesus and I'm not running after the Holy Ghost in my thought process, then my mind's all over the place. But God's saying, put your mind on the rock. Because when your mind's on the rock, it's solid, then you have a place to say, I'm going back to this place. I'm going back to this place. I'm going back to this place. Because if we look at it, we're going to see that Jacob did the very thing. He went back to this place. So he put his head on a rock. Now a rock is, you know, could you imagine sleeping on a rock? Dude, I'm one of those, and listen, I'm going to bare my heart right now. I had to have a comfy bed sleeping. I had to have the right pillow sleeping. I could not imagine being a prophet of the old and God being like, you know what, put your head down on the rock. I'm like, nah, send an angel, put his head down there, I'll sleep on his hand, you know what I mean? And maybe Jesus would, you know, maybe God would, I don't know, but. So he put his head on a rock. Do you believe that God could even do that? How real will you believe what God can do? I mean, I'm talking about, well, let me not get ahead of myself. Let me build context, then I'll get ahead of myself. So he puts his head on the rock. And he lay there and he went to sleep. And he dreamed that there was a ladder, a stairway, placed on the earth. And at the top of it, it reached out of sight towards heaven. Let me stop there for a second. Matt was talking about an imagination. What is dreams?
What is a dream? It's imagination. What is a vision? It's imagination in our mind for the Holy Ghost, right? Yes? No? I mean, where are we having it? Well, sometimes I have visions like a movie theater right before me. It's not in my mind, but it is projected through the Holy Ghost through my mind. The problem is the church has allowed the devil to rob the imagination. Now, I believe sometimes we don't even have dreams or visions of God because we have the imagination of the devil in our thinking instead of the imagination of Christ. And we wonder why things don't happen so well. It's because our thinking process is in the wrong sphere. It's in the wrong spirit. And we wonder why, hey, why is Joe Smoe having all these visions? Well, Joe Smoe, he's having a good time with the Holy Ghost, and maybe we're just having a hiccup, and we have our vision locked on the world and not on heaven. Does that make sense? Where's your vision at? What are you focused on? What are you studying? What are you reading? What are you allowing into your eye gate? What are you allowing into your ears? What are you allowing into your heart? They're the things that are going to drive the very thing when you lay your head on the foundation, the rock. They're going to create the imagination through the Holy Ghost of what you see. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So my question is, when you lay down, what are you seeing? Are you seeing things of the Spirit of God, or are you seeing the things of the Spirit of the devil? When you're walking around people, what are you seeing?
What are you allowing to drive and dictate the very things that you allow into your eye gate? Just another good question. So he has this dream. I believe your dreams are imaginations. I believe, and what I mean by that, they're driven by the Holy Ghost, right? We want to make that very clear. They're not driven by me. They're driven by the Holy Ghost, if I'm with the Holy Ghost. But I believe the world and the church has been robbed of its imagination. Can anyone say yes?
Yes.
Or do you just think that? I believe it. So my question tonight, as I'm teaching, is what does your imagination look like for the well? Who's here? Are all you guys part of the well? Yeah, who's here part of the well? Okay, most of you. All right. So, sir, what's one thing that you want to see the well about? Just right off the top, don't think.
Right off the top of my head, yeah. Healing.
Healing? Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you move in healing?
Not yet.
Okay. Hey, I like that answer. Come on, let's pray for you real quick.
What's your name, brother?
Bob.
Bob, Lord, we just thank you for Bob. We thank you for his expectation to believe that he will move in the gift of healing. Father, we release that over our brother right now, Father. That when he lays hands on people, God, that the anointing of heaven will flow through him, Father. That people will be restored. People will be whole. People will be healthy, God. I pray that you would even use him to see sicknesses before they even come about, Father God, that he speaks over the people. Lord, I pray that you would just move upon Bob, Father, that the Holy Ghost would drive Bob's excitement in the spirit realm, Father God. Lord, that Bob would see people come out of wheelchairs, not for his sake, but for the kingdom's sake, God. Lord, I pray that people, even that have mental diseases, anguishes, God, Lord, that Bob would be released. Dude, I just saw you being released as a roaring lion in a good sense, going about, just God moving through your life, bringing healing into people's life.
And I would encourage you, you may not see healing every time you lay hands on people, but brother, I encourage you, every time you pray with the faith that you had the day before. Father, I command healing in the name of Jesus. I just encourage you, just check out some of the scriptures about Jesus. When he moved, you know, he addressed two main spirits a lot of times when he dealt with healing. I encourage you to check them out. You know, a lot of times we get into this whole 50-minute prayer about healing. I'm not saying that's right, wrong, or different. I'm just saying, I want to get to the point when Jesus spoke, things happened. I mean, things happened. And why is it so many times that we're sitting there for 5 hours, oh my God, would you move? But if you learn the language of heaven, I believe we'll have a quicker, expedient time moving into things of God. But how do you learn the language of heaven? It's not a trick question. You better get in heaven and learn what's going on up in there. Right? I can't learn Spanish unless I get around something that teaches me Spanish. Unless I call up and I start hitting two on my phone. I hate hitting two. I hate it. I don't want to get into all that because that's wrong. But that's my pet peeve. I want to know the language of heaven. I want to be able to just go and wham, right into people's hearts. Because, you know, what is it about us? We should be a people in the community seeing the gifts of God in people and pulling those treasures out, saying, this is who you are. This is why you were created. This is why you're having a struggle, because the devil's covering the very treasure that you were created to be. And you're wondering why for the last 20 years you couldn't get out of this, because you have such a beautiful gift within. The devil's robbed you. I'm here today saying that I'm a voice of heaven. This is who you are. This is why you were created. Now go forth and be who God's called you to be. That is what your job's about. It's not about getting together and ripping a couple good songs off and having a good message. It's about radically changing the community where you walk. Do you have a heart for your community? If you say yes, God takes you at that yes. If you're saying, God, I don't know yet, God takes you at that. If you're saying, I never let someone else go, God's like, come on, I made you better than that. You have to have a heart for your community. You have to have a heart for wherever you stand. You know what? You have to, let's back up for a second. You have to have a heart to believe in who you are yourself. You can't change a community if you don't believe who God's even called you to be. I know who I am. I like who I am. Actually, I love who I am. Because it's taken a while to learn who I am, but I love it. The question is, do you love yourself? Let's get back to the scripture. So, he has this dream. There's this ladder. This is what I want to talk about. Well, let me find it. Okay, so there's a stairway placed on the earth, and at the top of it reached out of sight towards heaven, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending. Now, I gotta stop there for a second. Why did God say that? Why does the scripture say ascending and then descending? You ever sit there and think about that? I think about it often. The angels were actually ascending first and then descending.
They're here.
Most people are like, oh, they're up in heaven. Yeah, I believe there is a great amount of angels in heaven. I believe there's angels on the earth. I'm just taking the scripture for its word. No theologian, but there's a reason why things are written in the scripture. And we have to slow down and read them and take them for what they're saying. It says that the angels were ascending. They mean that they were already in that place. Are angels already in this place? Have you seen them? Have you welcomed them? Oh, wait, whoa. Have we welcomed the angels of heaven in this place? Matt? Yes, no?
I messed up, but I haven't.
Okay, can we do it tonight?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, go for it.
Is that a little too construction? Alright.
I believe anytime that God's creating something and he's consecrating something and he's dedicating something on this earth, I believe angels gather around.
Because if God's in it, they're in it. Because you can check it out in Revelation. Wherever God goes, angels go. You know, I love when Jesus shows up in a room. There's a whole entourage of heaven that goes with him. I believe they're here. Now, let's make it very clear. We don't worship angels, but we need to learn how to co-labor with heaven. If we don't learn how to co-labor with heaven, I believe we will be not doing the fullness of what we can do for our community. Because there's things that we can't do that they can do. You can check it out in Daniel 10. I'm not making this stuff up. Daniel 10, check it out. I'm sure you guys know about it. Daniel was praying for 21 days. The angel of the Lord was held back for 3 weeks. Then the angel showed up, right? Then there was another angel. That angel went off and fought off another demonic angel. Why are we having this in our community?
Imagine that.
This is what I'm talking about, not just taking a leisurely stroll in the Spirit. Imagine within the next few weeks, you guys just begin to buckle down. You begin to pull down the altar of heaven and say, God, we want the angels of heaven. We want the movement of the Holy Ghost to do things that we can't do, but we want to do the things that we can do. I want to learn how to co-labor with heaven so that we can be the fullness of this well.
So, Father, let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for the angels that you created for this time.
Lord, we thank you for this place, God. Lord, that this place will have a name. We will call it the well, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for the well in this place, God.
And Lord, we thank you for the angels that are in this place, God.
Lord, we thank you for the angels that are coming to move upon this part of the earth for your being, God. For your kingdom, God. And for our place to be moved, Father God. Lord, I thank you for the angels in the north. I thank you for the angels in the south, in the east, and the west. Lord, I thank you for ministering angels. I thank you for warring angels, God. Lord, I thank you for angels that bring impartation, God. I thank you for angels that bring scrolls, God. Lord, I thank you for angels that bring words, God. Lord, I thank you that you will allow us to see what you're doing in the Spirit. Not to be freaked out, but to be encouraged that you're in this place, Father. Lord, I pray that, come on, Lord, I pray that you open our eyes spiritually that we can see. Not that we would worship angels, God, but Lord, that we would see you moving amongst our midst, God. Lord, that there would be a shift in the atmosphere, even right now, God. Lord, that this place would be open, God. Lord, I command this well to go further even now, Father God. Lord, I command that this well will go beyond what they ever thought it could go, Father God. Lord, let your angels have their way in Jesus' name.
Friends, there's angels ascending from this place into heaven to get their assignments to come back to this place. Can you gather that?
Hallelujah.
Come on, that is good stuff. That is part of your inheritance of in this place. That there's angels that were created for such a time as this that you learn how to be a well community and say, God, let the angels ascend knowing that what we need and let them come back out of the resources of heaven back to earth and show us how to walk with them so that we can meet the needs of this community. It's not about how big our tithes get. It's about how many salvations can we get. It's about how many healings can we get. It's about how many people get to know Jesus. It's about how many songs will be released. It's about who will stand in a place of intercession. Listen, Matt, there's four more new songs coming your way. I saw them tonight. And I saw them coming one after another. And I heard the Lord says that he's restoring your wife's voice. There's a new song for your wife. There's a song that's going to come out of her like never before. There's this literally a well in your wife that she's going to sing out of her brokenness that's going to restore her brokenness and bring a wholeness to her. And out of her wholeness, there's going to be other people restored. And when people hear that song, they're going to be getting tears flowing out of their faces because heaven is going to have an encounter out of these songs that your wife's going to sing. There's something about her playing the piano, and there's this intimacy that's going to come out of her, Matt. And the Lord says that the song of heaven will be upon her, and there's going to be this gushing of excitement coming out of your wife. And I feel like the Lord says that he's restoring hope in your wife. He's restoring joy back in your wife. And I command that hand of the devil off of her in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know if that makes any sense for you, but God's restoring the very things that he gave your wife. Listen, your wife has been robbed. You know, some of us in this room have been robbed. And this might hurt a little bit. Some of us have seen our spouses robbed, and we haven't gone in the Spirit and addressed those very things. We might say a prayer here and there, but are you laboring for your spouse? Are you laboring for your child? Are you laboring for the gifts and the callings that God's put on your life? Or are you just trying to get through your 9-to-5 and hoping for a better day? Forget 9-to-5. Yeah, God's in your 9-to-5. God's more concerned about what are you laboring for the kingdom. Now, your gifting could be your 9-to-5. So we got to have an understanding with that, right? Like, right now, I'm in the marketplace. So I labor for my marketplace. That's my job. Friends, you got to step up, or you're going to be a community that's going to change this place. If you're going to be a community, and maybe you're doing it, but you know what? Then you begin to be an example for somebody else. When the next seat fills in, then you become an example to that person, and then to that person, and that person becomes an example to that person. That's how community begins to grow. And it begins to flourish. And then that will stop any weeds from growing. Because if a weed comes up, they squash it. All right, so
I'm going to get this. My phone locked. So angels ascending and descending on it, going to and fro from heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above and around him, and he said, I am the Lord. Listen, I'm speaking this over you prophetically because I believe the Lord told me to say this. I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father's father, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and to your descendants the land. I believe that's the word of the Lord for you guys. He will give you this community. The question, will you stand once he gives it, that you will stand and fight for it for all eternity until God says, now I move you to another place. That's a heavy word. God's saying, I am giving you this land. You know what that means? God is entrusting you. So he's entrusting you with the people of this land. What will you do with them? How will you feed them? How will you move in the spirit realm for this land? This is not your typical message. This is to build you up to understand you're on the right track. If God is saying that he's for you, who can be against you? Bro, who can be against you? Yourself. I will give you and to your descendants. Isn't that amazing? And to your descendants. What does that mean? What does that mean? Your kids. That's deep. God is saying to you, the well, I am going to give you this land, and then I'm going to give it to your descendants. What will you do with it? Talk about an inheritance. Talk about favor. Talk about trust. Now God is saying, I'm giving you this portion. Be mindful how you handle it. That's a challenging word. I don't know if I would want to be in a hot seat. I will if God would have me. And on which you are lying, your descendants shall be, lying meaning in his head, right? Not lying. And on which you are lying, your descendants shall be as countless as the dust of the earth. What does that mean, friends? I believe this. Not going to be wrong, you have to test it. I believe that God's going to bring you to a place of streaming. I believe once you get to that place of streaming, your church will begin to be a well on the internet. A well that people will be able to tap into from other nations. In that, they will become your descendants. They will become your children. You will begin to father and mother these people that don't have fathers and mothers in other places. It could be down the street where they can't get out of their house. It could be in another nation. God is saying it's bigger than what you think. It's bigger than what you think you put your hand on. It's bigger than what you think that you dreamt about. It's bigger than the vision board that you may have. My question is, friends, are you ready? You got to get a little more excited. Are you ready to see God truly change this landscape in the spirit realm? Because he trusts you guys. Now, I'm charged with the very thing that I say over you. And I take that very seriously because I will be judged for it. And I believe God is saying that you will become mothers and fathers to people in this world that you never even may meet physically, but you will meet them spiritually. And then it goes on here and says, and you shall spread abroad to the and you shall spread abroad to the east and to the west and the east and the north and the south, and all the families and nations of the earth shall be blessed through you and your descendants. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you, a careful watch over you, and guard you whenever you may go, and I will bring you back to this promised land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and he said, without any doubt, the Lord is in this place. And I did not recognize it. So he was afraid and said, how fearful and awesome in this place. There is none other than the house of God. And this is the gateway to heaven. I believe it's the first time in Scripture where it talks about angels ascending and descending was when Jacob had this dream of the ladder. It talks about the first, I forget what they call it in hermeneutics, but it's the first spoken, what is it?
First law.
First law of mention, right? I'm telling you, prophetically God is saying, this is his house. And angels ascend and descend. I'm telling you, when God was giving me this, I'm like, that's amazing. I hope they get it. And I'm being sober tonight because it's a sober word. It will propel you to be who God's really called you guys to be. Let me go back over this for a second. This is none other than the house of God. And this is the gateway to heaven. You get it? Every time that you come in and out of this place, you're opening up the gate to heaven. You usher in everything that heaven has for this place. What do I mean by this place? I'm talking about this community. I'm talking about this well. I'm talking about the community that you're around. Dude, that's amazing. Whether you understand it or not, please don't take this wrongly. I am speaking to the spirit realm as I'm giving this message. I'm decreeing the word of the Lord over this place, okay? Just so you understand what I'm doing. There's a reason why I'm talking what I'm saying. But I want to encourage you guys. God has given you this place. Take full advantage of it. Don't become competitive. Don't become complacent. Don't become lazy. Don't become arrogant. Become humble. Become a people that will run in the place of worship. There's going to be times where the leaders are going to call for prayer meetings. Show up. Why? Because angels ascend and descend. The Holy Ghost breaks out. Men in white linen come and they open up scrolls over your life and they tell you what's going to happen. Prayer meetings of tomorrow are not going to look like yesterday. Because we want an encounter with the Holy Ghost. Then it goes on here and it says, so Jacob got up early in the morning and he took the stone and he had put it under his head. Remember the stone? And he put it, the one that was under his head, and he set it up as a pillar. That is a monument to the vision in his dream. God will leave a monument in this very place of what he's done through you guys. Because your descendants and their descendants will need to have a track of what was going on. So they said, you know what, this is what the fathers of faith did back then. And it's not that they will model it, it's what they can begin to glean off it and then become who they're called to be. Because there's other scriptures that talk about us leaving markers in the spirit. And then it says here, and he poured olive oil over the top of the consecrated. He named that place Bethel. The house of God. Now here's the thing. The previous name of that city was Luz and the almond tree. What am I trying to say? God in the Spirit is changing this name of this community. I believe it. You imagine? Just think about, we know what God did with Bethel out in Redding, California. What can God do with a Bethel here in Southern? Now, you're not going to be like Bethel out there. Not at all. You will be a Bethel that is needed here. Because I believe that every one of us carry a different DNA. So my question is, what does your DNA look like? What does this community look like? We got presence, we got healing. Who else is it? What do you got, Dave? One thought.
Life-changing encounters.
All right, encounters. Supernatural encounters, right? You can't mess up. You can't. I was going to finish that, but we're running a little late. Let's jump over to this. Jump over to, here it is. It is Genesis 26. And I'm going to buzz through this, but check this out. Then Isaac planted a seed in the land as a farmer, and he reaped in the same year 100 times. Can you believe that? Well, you have faith for that. That what you planted here could reap 100-fold in a year. What does that mean? What are you planting in this well? What are you looking for this well to come out? We got presence, we got healing, we got supernatural encounters, and whatever else you guys may throw out there. Imagine those things because you labored in prayer, you labored in the supernatural realm. Now you have 100-fold within a year. Talk about exploits. Talk about mind-blowing. And listen, it's not about numbers. It's about how do we reap what we sow into the Spirit. So he had this hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him and favored him.
And the man Isaac became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and extremely distinguished. He owned flocks and herds and a great household with a number of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now this is what I want to say. When you become a Bethel, right? A Bethel here, other churches will become envious of what God's doing in your midst. Who cares? You shouldn't be envious of what God's doing in their ministry. Who cares if they become envious in this ministry? What you need to do is bless their ministry and allow the blessing of the Lord. Listen, if you bless someone else's ministry, your ministry will be blessed. If you look at someone else's ministry and say, why is it happening there and not here? You cut the blessing off. You sold yourself short. Shot yourself in the foot. Whatever you want to say. Do not do that. Don't look at what other... You know, it's okay to see what God's doing in other people's ministry. Don't become envious of what's going on. So the Philistines became envious. Now all the wells of which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped up by filling them with dirt. Then somebody said to Isaac, go away from here because you are far too powerful for us. That's a pretty interesting word. That's an interesting statement. Can you imagine, Joe, you have a ministry? Hey, get out of my town. You're way too powerful. You know what? I wouldn't mind that, actually. Now, I would have to say, God, should I leave? Right? That would be the right question. Or should I stay powerful enough to change more of what's going on? But can you imagine being a community that's so powerful, people are like, dude, they got to go. No, we don't. I believe if God's saying not to go, then that's the word from the devil. I believe. Or whatever. Now it goes on and says, now Isaac, go away too far. So Isaac left that region and camped in the valley of Jeor and settled there. Now Isaac again dug and reopened the wells of water which had been dug in the days of Abraham, his father, because the Philistines had filled them up with dirt. And after the death of Abraham, and he gave the wells the same names. I thought this was interesting. He gave the names, the wells, the same names as Abraham. So if there's wells of healing, why change the well of healing? That's what it is. There's a well of worship. It's a well of worship. Why change it? Follow this. They were already wells dug, right? You follow me? There were already wells dug. They were just uncapping them. And there's good things. People want to uncap the old wells, right, Joe? I mean, you've been in this stuff for long enough. People want the old anointing from the 50s and the 60s and and the early 1900s. And they want those old revival movements. They were for that time. Now, I believe that we can learn from them. I'm not discounting them. But I believe there's a well for today. I believe that there's something, because God says that you are well-oiled drillers. Listen, a well-oiled driller doesn't let its rig sit. It puts it to work. Right? Because it cashes in on the very thing that it's drunk for. Now, it goes on here and says, but when Isaac... Okay, here it is. And he gave the wells the same names of the father, and they gave them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of flowing spring water, then the herdsman of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's servants, saying, the water is ours. See, that gets a little touchy. I don't have one night to break into this. You got to follow this. We're talking about anointings, right? We're talking prophetically. We're talking about different wells of anointing, right? Are you following me with that? Does that make sense? There's different wells in this community. And you're going to cross-contaminate with each other, right? Or pollinate with each other, not contaminate. We don't want to contaminate. We want to purify, right? Some of them are contaminated. So there's this bickering going on. This water is ours. So Isaac named the well Isaac, I think it's called. And it means quarreling. It means strife. If you're tapped into another well in the community and it begins to cause quarrel amongst the community, you may want to get out of that well. Does that make sense? We're talking about people now, right? We're talking about ministry. We're talking about anointings. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Okay. So if there's quarreling, let's take a step back. That's not for us. Because they quarreled with him. Then his servants dug another well. Now they become well junkies, right? You know how many people jump from church to church to church to try to find the right anointing, the right time, the right season, the right this, the right that? That's what's going on here. That's a no-no. We don't jump around from church to church. You need to find who God's called us to be and get into a community. So they go on. They dug up another well. And now they find this well
they fight about it again. Now they call it, I don't know his name, Sinneth. And that word stands for accusation. Now, if people are accusing you, you might want to take a step back out of that well that you're drinking out of. What are they accusing you of? They're accusing you that you're a mighty man of God, let them accuse me all day long. Right? That's where we want to be. So if you find yourself drinking out of a well with another well in this community and it's causing accusations, let's take a step back. But here's the point. It goes on here. He says, he moved away from there and he dug another well. And that might be this well we're talking about. This is where I wanted to go. And they did not quarrel over that one. So they named it Rehoboth, broad places. Now, what that word really means, it means to be able to enlarge, to grow. This well, it is truly the word of the Lord that this is the well. This could be your Rehoboth. I'm speaking this prophetically. Yeah. Are you getting this?
Yeah.
You getting this, Matt? This could be your place where it can enlarge and go deeper and go deeper and go deeper for the season until God says, I'm no longer in that place and I'm over here. And that could be the rest of your life. I have no idea. Come on, this is good. I know this is very sober. This is usually, I'm usually high-flying, loud, and kind of obnoxious. But this to me is very serious.
Amen.
If you're establishing a place that you're calling the house of the Lord, well, there needs to be some guidelines and fundamental truths that need to establish that very thing. And I believe that we find them here. So now it goes on, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be prosperous in this land. Then he went up from there to Beersheba. The Lord appeared to him. Now check this out. The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, your father. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless and favor you and multiply your descendants. I keep bringing this scripture up about descendants. You know why? Because there needs to be a well and wells that are hungering for the descendants, that are living a life that leave a legacy for their children's children's children. I'm all about my children. What will my children have? What will my life have an impact on my children that will impact their children, that will impact their children? I don't want to just leave an impact on my children. I'm going to leave an impact on my children's 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 children. I'm talking about I want to leave such a radical line of fire on earth through the Spirit, and my kids' kids' kids be like, my granddaddy, look what he did through the Holy Ghost. Will you believe that? Look what my grandma did. Look what my grandpa did. Because they had the courage to be exceptional in the calling that God put on their life. See, I'm wrapping it all back up. Will you be exceptional in who God's called you to be? What is one talent you have, man?
Yes, you.
Right. You're a doll trainer or something, right?
Yeah, I'm a doll trainer.
Are you exceptional at it?
I try to be.
Amen. And I believe God honors that, and he gives more to that. And what happens when we're exceptional? Our heart is blessed. The kingdom is blessed. Those around us. See, if you're doing a job and you're doing a heck, people aren't calling you back to that job. If you're doing an exceptional job, they're calling you back every time. So when you're in an exceptional community, people will thrive for that community. Does that make sense? If you are an exceptional worship leader, man, what was one thing?
My one thing?
No. You're a dog trainer, mm-hmm. Which is awesome. I see your pictures on Facebook. Look at her go. I love your big dog. Come on, one thing. What is one thing that excites you?
Art.
I knew it.
Okay.
So when you're exceptional in your creativity, people are awestruck because the Holy Ghost moves through you. But if you're just like, people are like, But if you are being exceptional and you're being thoughtful and you're lining yourself with the things of God, then people are like, wow, look at the art that comes from heaven. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not going to apologize for being sober anymore. And I won't apologize for being myself. I don't want to get to heaven and God said, why weren't you exceptional? And I called you to be exceptional. Wasn't Jesus exceptional? You think about what he did. Flipping tables over was exceptional. fasted for 40 days. Well, I'm not exceptional like that. Listen, I'm hard time from lunch to dinner. But let me read this and I'm going to wrap this up. This is Isaiah 12. We keep talking about the well. And then I'm going to talk to you for a couple minutes and I'll be done, I promise. Isaiah 12, this is 2 through 6. Behold, now this is Isaiah saying this. Behold, God, my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. You guys have to trust and not be afraid in this exceptional time of digging a well. How many times do you see God handing the keys of the kingdom to a group of people saying, this is the land I'm giving to you and your descendants? It's awestruck. I mean, I could stand here and weep about what God wants to do with this well. It's not that you just picked up from rock and got into another building.
Amen.
That is the farthest of what God wants to do in this well. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength and my song. Yes, He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name in prayer. Who is the well? I just read it. The Father. When you're one in Him, and He's one in you, talk about how depth you can go in the things of God. I'm talking about, can you imagine having an open heaven in every meeting? Why? Because you were exceptional. Now, let me break this up for being exceptional. Do not become legalistic. But become exceptional. That's a no-no. Let's not let the devil rob you. What that means is you're running after with the fullness, hunger that you have possibly in the spirit to gain the very thing God said you can have. That's when you become exceptional. And think about Abraham Lincoln. How many times did he fail before he became president?
A lot.
A lot. But he got up every day and he became exceptional. Does that make sense? If we allow our failures to dictate how far and how deep this well will go, you've already succumbed to not drill to the depths that you were supposed to be. And when today, I had a vision of this well, and it was so deep. And it's not about the numbers. It's about the level of community that you will walk in. So it goes on here and it says, so God is, the point I wanted to make, when you realize that God is actually the well, dude, it's game on. Because all that means is that you'll learn how to be one in Him and one, and He's within you. Therefore, joy will draw water from the springs of salvation, and in that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name in prayer. Make His deeds known among the people. I believe there's a time coming when you begin to drill. Listen, you're just beginning to start your drilling. That's why you're well-oiled drillers. You're tapping in. Now, you might be, I don't know how deep you are, but you're not all the way down. Right? You can't be.
No.
You can't be. Because there's not books and songs. There's not programs about the well. Follow what I'm saying? I'm talking about what kind of legacy will this well leave in this community. And I know I keep bringing back these points because I'm trying to make it sink in. What will you do to leave an impact? See, we make it too hard. So let me just back up and you've got another 5-10 minutes. We make it way too hard. We go back to the beginning. Behold. What does behold mean? Whoa. Right? There's this awe. You're awestruck in who God is and who you are in Him. Are you awestruck in who you are in God? Do you look in the mirror and like, God, look at this creation. Six pack and all. I mean, it's clickety clack. You know, I mean, if we were in church, I'd rip my shirt off.
I got a gut,
you know. But that's how I see myself in the spirit realm is I am the strongest man at this place because who God's called me to be. I know that when I speak, things can move. I know when I pray, things will happen. I know when I worship, the angels show up. I know when I call on the mighty God of Israel, he comes. I know when I say, God, will you help me with this? He's going to help me. It may not look what I want it to be, but he's still going to help me. When I pray, God, be with my children, he's with my children. When I say, God, be with my finances, it doesn't mean that I have millions of dollars in the bank. It just means that he's making things. Listen, I don't want to be a person that lives a life that just makes it by day, by day, by day. Because you're not called to live day by day. Are you called to live by day by day? It says that you're more. You're more than what? More than conquerors, right? So if you're more than a conqueror, why are we sliding through day by day? Oh my God, why did I punch it to the clock? You know, the time clock, this day is dragging. Where's Jesus at? Where's your thinking at? If you're grumbling because you have a job, well then you're not really understanding the blessing of the job that God gave you. Now it might not be the job that you want, but it's a job. If you're complaining about your role in the church, well, you're really off guard. Right? Why do we get wrapped up in titles in the church? Listen, I may be called something on earth, but I know what I'm called in heaven. That's what matters. I could care less what people call me on earth. Call me whatever you want. He calls me his son. That's the most important thing that I can hear. He calls you my daughter, my son. When you get that, it's amazing. So, we make it so hard. The easiest way to do this, I will trust and not be afraid. How will the well go deep? You will what? Trust. I will trust. What will you do? I'm going to trust. When the drill bit gets... I'm trusting that we're breaking through. Listen, Mark 4. Mark 4 is about the journey. They're going from one side to the other side. They get in the boat. The whole thing happens. What happens? Does anyone know what happens when they get to the other side of the land? Now, Mark 4 is a picture of where you guys have come from. You came from one season. You're going to another season. What happened when they got onto the other side? Does anyone know? What's the first thing that happened?
Oh. The storm.
They had to deal with a demonic man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So when you are drilling and you hit some demonic things, push on the gas pedal. Don't become wimpy. Know who you are. Know your authority. Know the power that you walk in. Know the Holy Ghost is inside you. Who cares what the devil says? You may be drilling, and the devil's like, you stink. No, I don't. Behold, I will trust and not be afraid. Come on, that's good. If you hold on to what God's saying, you will drill, and God will break through, and that your families will have breakthrough, your children will have breakthrough, and your children's children will have breakthrough. Now, I don't know. Do you believe that big enough?
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I want my children's children to understand the power of the supernatural. I don't want my children to sit in an organization and never hear about the supernatural manifestations of God. I don't want my children to sit around and not see the manifest presence of healing happening. You know, I've shared this a couple times. We were at a baseball game and the one guy, he was pitching and he somehow tripped, broke his arm, snapped his arm in half. This is how my God is. We were silly enough to believe that God Almighty can touch this man. A couple of us went over there and we commanded his arm to come back into place. And we literally saw his arm snap back in place and his arm was completely healed. He pitched the whole rest of the game. He went to the doctor, not a scratch on him. That's the God I serve. What God do you serve? I'm talking about we prayed for a girl that had AIDS. There was documented AIDS. You can't get rid of AIDS. We prayed for her three times, nothing happened. Okay, Bob? You prayed three times, nothing happened with this girl with AIDS. You don't get rid of AIDS. The fourth time, the girl came back, completely documented from the doctors, completely clean of AIDS. She's healthy today. Why? Because we believe in the God that we serve. I'm talking about a man that was in a wheelchair. I just had the faith. You know what? He doesn't belong in a wheelchair. Where in Scripture does it say that God says, I created you to be in a wheelchair? Our soul runs into things. My spirit man rises up over my soul. I spoke to that man in the wheelchair, and momentarily he got up and walked. I'm talking about moving in the spirit realm, dealing with things, being able to translate from one place to another in the very place of my home, dealing with spiritual things. I never have to leave my couch, but I leave my couch in the spirit and go deal with things in the spirit. I'm talking about how far will this community believe? Because if you have how far you believe and it's not having the right to go beyond that, then you just already set the ceiling that you go to. My God. You know, I'm talking about, man, I can spend days about who my God is. You know who your God is. Will you go out and let the world know who your God is? Or what's the point of having a well? So in closing, my question is to you guys. Will you be a well that doesn't get locked on one thing? What I mean by that is if you are moving greatly in worship, don't let worship be your driving force. See, because there's too many communities that are, we got worship, we're good. Or we got preaching, we're good. Or we got the signs and wonders, we're good. Imagine a community that has all of them operating on a daily basis. Because you know who you are, and you know the God that you serve. I'm talking about being able to go into the spirit realm. You know, I don't want to be freaky. You know, the spirit realm is not freaky.
You believe it's freaky?
I mean, if you look at the Old Testament, there was so much activity in the supernatural realm that it will just blow your mind if you just crack open the Word. My little girl, 2 years old, saw in the spirit and prophesied about her grandfather being sick. Now, how many two-year-olds are walking the earth telling their daddy and mommy, you know what, I saw grandpa sick, we need to call him. Out of the blue, playing in her room.
We didn't know that my wife's dad was sick.
Talking about how we raise our children so that their children and their children have tapped into the supernatural things of God. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. So we call up her dad. Her dad was sick for over a week with this bad flu. A two-year-old blew me away. I want to be like a two-year-old. I want to move with child life. I want to move what man says I can't do. I want to go over and beyond what they said I can't do. So what will this well look like, man? It has to grow in all aspects. And the thing is to learn your role in the well and become exceptional at your role. Because what happens is then you can begin to disciple other people in that area. The goal is to work yourself out of a job. Right, Joe? I believe that, you know, a preacher should be able to preach to another preacher takes over or whatever it may be. Let your well flow like never before. You will see an amazing change. So I just want to pray over us. You know, you will look back in a couple years over this message of what God said, and I truly believe, and I could be wrong, I believe it was the word of the Lord about your will. I could have came in here hooting and hollering, flame throwing, but I don't think that was needed for tonight. I think what is needed is to know the reality of where you're going. So what's going to happen when the drill bit begins to hit some rocks? Full force of authority. Mommy with the kids on your lap. I just heard the Lord said that you are diligent in protecting your children. And that in that, your children will become protectors of other children. And what I mean by that is that there's an anointing on your children because of the way that you're raising your children,
to be able to be gracious upon other people and be able to protect the other people that are being hurt. And I saw that you are like a, whether you realize it or not, God hears your intercession for your children. And I saw that your door of intercession is opening. And I feel like the Lord has shown me that within the next 3 months, God's going to really reveal to you who you really are in the spirit realm. It's like you spent the last 15, 20 years kind of just meandering your way around. And God says, I'm going to be, there's something about you like within the teaching anointing. There's a, you're going to be able to teach, whether it's just your children or people around you. But God's going to begin to download the understanding of Scripture for you so that when you read the Scripture, it becomes alive to you. And I feel like God's saying this is a time for you to actually become a voice. And I feel like that people have stopped you from being a voice, but God says no longer, that's not your portion. You're called to be a lioness. And I saw you begin to roar. And I encourage you, just begin to roar in your prayer closet. Like when you're driving, just crank up the radio and just roar. I'm talking about good stuff, not the, you know what I mean? There's this love affair that the Holy Ghost has, and of course the Holy Ghost loves all of us, but there's something about He wants to begin to show you the beauty of the love that He has for you, because out of that, that beauty, I believe, is part of who you're called to be. That beauty is going to be resounding in your children. Your family's going to be known for its love. And the thing is, just, I just really feel like, as this lioness, you're really one that really looks after their family. And I feel like the Lord even wants to give you an awareness that there's music in your family, there's music in your children, that I see like musical notes over your two little kids. I feel like the Lord just wants to pull music out of your kids. So just let that, if that makes sense to you, that they just begin to, does that make sense to you? And the girl, there's like, God wants to use her within creativity, within drawing, within, I feel like the Lord is going to take your, what's your girl's name? I feel like the Lord says that there's going to be encounters for her to go into the spirit realm to see things, and God's going to begin to use her to paint these things. And at first, be like, "Hey, what is that?" But there's going to be this abstract art of the spirit that your daughter's going to be able to portray, and it's going to be amazing. So, Father, we just bless. What's your name?
Jessica.
Lord, we call Jessica to be a voice, God, to be a lioness in the spirit, Father God. Lord, it's like I saw you just becoming so. Like this tenacity rising up in you because you know that you want to break out. You know that you want this freedom. You know that there's more. You know that you see these things. You hear these things. You read about these things. And you're like, God, where's my time? Where's my season? Where's my breakthrough? And God says, this is your breakthrough, but you have to step through. It's not that God's just going to pick you up and put you from A to B. It's you just plowing through. I saw you like plow through walls and break through walls and saying a wall is not going to stop me any longer. And sometimes it's even, and please don't be offended with that, sometimes it's even like a gnat stopped you. Like just this idea sometimes, it just stopped you right in your tracks. And the Lord says, that was not me, that was of you and of the devil. And the Lord says, I have bigger plans for you. And I hear the Lord says that it's time for you to break out. It's time for you to break out. And this lady over here, what was your name, Lauren?
Laura.
Laura, you're such a sweet lady. There's this level of intimacy that you walk in. And I feel like the Lord wants to use you around other ladies, even within brokenness and bondage. God wants to restore. It was almost like you were not a counselor, but a counselor in a sense, where you were able to give words of direction to brokenness. But in that place, God's opened your eyes and like, wow, you know what? That makes so much sense to me because I understand that now because I walk through certain things. Where God is going to use what you walk through as a testimony to give people hope. And I saw the word hope over your head. And I feel like the Lord says that He's restoring hope over you. And even, I don't know what this means, but I saw a house and there were hope over a house. But God wants to restore hope in a house. I don't know what that means, if that means anything for you. But God is saying, even in your own house, and I think it could be in your heart, God wants to restore hope for you. And I feel like, it's like, I even saw you like, and, like you were washing dishes. And it was just like, you're just going about your day. And God says, you know what, I'm taking her from that place and I'm bringing her to a place of expectation. There's this excitement that's going to rise in you. It's like this tenacity of, this is not enough. This is not my portion. I'm tired of this. I want more. And the Lord says, when you begin to break out of that, that more will fill. That more will fill. That more will fill. That more will fill. And because you are the more. I want you to get this. You are the more through the Holy Ghost. It's not so much that you're looking for things, but God's saying, you are the more. Does that make sense to you? That when you see the very thing that you are that,
What the world needs. Now, this is heavy. That you are the very thing through the Holy Ghost, what the world is looking for in your sphere of influence. Let me just break it down for you. In your sphere of influence, the world is looking for what you carry. Your wisdom, your love, your generosity, and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what people are looking for. Do not be abused. Do not be taken advantage of. And the Lord says, be mindful who you allow speaking to your life in that group. Because what's going to happen, as you begin to flourish, as you begin to bloom, people are going to try to take advantage of those things. What I saw out of your Laura, right? What I saw, Laura, is this beautiful blossom tree coming out. And it had all these beautiful flowers coming out. And people were beginning to try to pick off your flowers. And what happened is, you have two things. Either your flower will become wilted, because there's so much taken out of you, or just comes to grow because you have a balance of what you allow people to take. Does that make sense?
So
okay. So be mindful of what people do in your life. Now thank Jesus. So Father, we thank you, God. This lady in the back, I saw you with an axe. It's like I saw you, and the axe to me was like your prayer. It was like you were just chopping and chopping and chopping and chopping. And the Lord says, you are a chopper, you're a chopper, you're a chopper. The Lord says that you see things, and sometimes it's almost like you see, what's the word? I'll get to it. You see adversary. You see things that are it starts with C. Why can't I say it? Anyway, you're combative. That's not the word, but you're combative. The Lord says that you are a warrior. I saw you take this huge sword out of your back, and you knew your power. And sometimes you know your power, but I saw just dragging your sword at times, and the Lord says, that's not my daughter, she knows better, because he's bringing you to a higher understanding of who you are. And the Lord says that you're going to chop a root in your life that has been there for 25 years. I felt like that it's just been around your life, and the Lord says that he's showing you how to chop that root. And that out of that, there's this freedom that you've been hungering for. And that freedom is going to go out. And I saw that there's three ladies around your life that the Lord says that he's going to bring wisdom and freedom for it within your walk. I don't know if that makes any sense to you. You're shaking your head, yes. Okay, that's a good thing. But when you chop this root, that twig, that wisdom, that fruit, that wisdom and freedom are going to go to these three ladies through the things of the Holy Ghost through you. Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
Okay. Isn't that cool? This guy, Keith, right?
Yes.
I heard the Lord says that you're a man of stature and a man of wisdom. And a man that likes to question things. And that's a good thing. Oh. No stop questioning. But I do hear the Lord says at times when he gives you an answer, stop questioning. So when God gives you revelation and then understanding that it's your question, it's like you become analytical at times. And you dissect it. Sometimes God says to dissect it, is it done? Move on. I don't know if that makes sense to you. But the Lord says that he loves the way you think because he created your mind to think that way. But the Lord says, just be mindful how you view others because they don't think the way you think. So you have to be mindful. So when you're engaged in conversations, sometimes you have to take a step back and realize the way you see it is not the way they see it, but you be able to speak wisdom into that situation. And the Lord wants to, I felt like I saw the hand of the Lord touch your heart, and that he's going to begin to give you the ability to read people's hearts so that you can see where they're at and you can speak to it to get the wisdom of heaven to them in the way that they can understand it. Does that make sense? Because what you understand may not be the way I understand, vice versa. So the Lord is going to move that in your life. Does that make sense for you, brothers? So Father, we just bless Keith with that. Lord, we thank you for that, Father God. Lord, we just hunger for just more for these people, God. And for my brother David, I just feel the compassion, the heart of love over you. And I really feel like the Lord is saying that you walk like a pastor. Not that you're going to be called a pastor, but you have a pastor's heart. You have the gentleness to see beyond people's aggravation. I don't know if that makes sense to you. Maybe I should ask your wife. but the Lord is wanting to use you as this well goes deeper, that even when the well hits, that you're going to be like, you know what? This is one of the reasons. Like, God's going to give you wisdom of why certain things are happening, And sometimes he may not give you the understanding, but when he gives you that understanding, there's a grace upon your word. You're a gracious man. There's grace upon your words. God honors a man of grace. Father, I pray that you just bless David with the grace of the word of the Lord over his life, Father. I pray. It's like you like to study the word. Do you like to study the word? It's like I just see you like your face is just in the word. It's like you're eating the word, and that's a good thing. There's a season coming from eating to sowing. Now, you continually to eat, you know that, but there's this transition coming through your life. As you began to eat for the last so many years in the kingdom, now what the Lord has sowed in that time of eating, now he's going to begin to allow you to sow that into other people's lives. So, Father, I bless that in my brother. Lord, I thank you for David. I thank you for what you're doing, Father. In Jesus' name. Now, let's pray for the well. Father, we thank you for this well, God. Do you guys believe that the word that was given was of the Lord? I believe it. So let's just thank the Lord for that for a second. Father, we thank you for what you spoke prophetically out of the life of Isaac and Jacob, God, that this place will be a place as a Bethel, as a Rehoboth, God. Lord, that the angels will ascend and descend, that the Holy Ghost will have his way, Father God. Lord, we call forth the men and women to come, Father God, to open up scrolls over people's lives, God. Lord, that these men would read the scribe, you know, the scrolls written over their lives, Father God. Lord, that they would have encounters, supernatural encounters, Father God. Lord, that the presence that they're hungering for, Father, that they would tap into it, God. The presence of the Holy Ghost, that every meeting would grow, Father God. And Lord, where they feel resistance, God, where they feel kickback, Father God, that they would just keep going on, Father God. Lord, that this well would be a well that would water the seeds that have been planted, that have gone on, that have not nourished, that have not been come to fruition, Father God. Lord, I pray that they would learn how to begin to move in this community, Father God. Lord, that they would learn how to meet the needs of the community, God. Lord, that they would learn to not look at other ministries, but God, if there's times where they should line up with ministries and say, hey, this is what the Lord's doing, can we help? Or if a ministry saying, this is what the Lord's doing, can we help? Lord, that there be an openness of community amongst communities, Father God. Lord, I pray that they understand their place in the kingdom, that they understand their place in the spirit, that they understand their place in this land, in this region, God. Lord, that the drill of the prayer, that's the drill, that their prayers would never end, Father God. Lord, that they would continuously to drill and drill, even when there's such excitement, even when they feel like they think that they got there, God. Lord, that they would never stop their intercession, Father. And I just heard this. Sometimes, ask Jesus, what is he interceding on your behalf for the well? I'm telling you, I just heard the Lord say that. Because now what you do is you get to go and you begin to co-labor with Jesus in that intercession. And the flip side of that is begin to thank Jesus for the intercession that he's doing on your behalf as the well. That's good right there. Father, I pray that you bless that, God. Lord, would you release worship like never before out of this place? Let the young ones begin to worship you, Father God. Lord, let them have encounters with the Holy Spirit. Let the young ones begin to worship like never before, God. Lord, let songs of heaven be sung, Father God. Lord, we pray that you release dancers, Father God. Lord, would you release intercessors, God. Lord, would you release the fivefold, God. Release apostles and prophets and managers and pastors and teachers. Not to get wrapped up in names, God, but to get wrapped up in their place in the kingdom, Father. Lord, we're not about the names, but we're about the function that will make us to be a better community. Lord, I pray that you bring order. Lord, that you bring an understanding, God. Lord, that you would open their eyes and know who they're really called to be, Father God. Lord, I thank you for this group. I thank you for this community. Lord, we're believing for testimony upon testimony upon testimony of the goodness of God in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.